Now, we meet here tonight during a year studded with important anniversaries. 140 years ago, President Abraham Lincoln announced the Emancipation Proclamation, freeing slaves in states in armed rebellion against the United States. 100 years ago, Dr. W.E.B. Du Bois published The Souls of Black Folk, famously predicting that the problem of the 20th century would be the problem of the color line. 55 years ago, Harry Truman desegregated the American military. 40 years ago this month, NAACP Field Secretary Medgar Evers was assassinated in Jackson. And 40 years ago this August, Martin Luther King, Jr., fresh from the battlefields of Birmingham, told the nation of his dream at the March on Washington. There were over 10,000 anti-racist demonstrations held across the United States that year. Now, King, of course, was the most famous and well-known of the modern movement's personalities. But we ought to remember that it was a people's movement. It produced leaders of its own. It relied not on the noted but the nameless, not on the famous but the faceless. It didn't wait for commands from afar to begin a campaign against injustice. It saw wrong and acted against it. It saw evil and it brought it down. Now, those were the days when good music was popular and when popular music was good. Those were the days when the president picked the Supreme Court and not the other way around. Those were the days. Those were the days when Martin Luther King was a civil rights leader, not a television salesman. And those were the days when we had a war on poverty, not a war on the poor. Those were the days when patriotism was a reason for open-eyed disobedience, not an excuse for blind allegiance. And those were the days when the news media reported and analyzed the news and weren't just stenographers for the powerful. Now, in some ways, our celebrations of those days have become orgies of racial self-congratulation, often centered on our romantic recollections of Martin Luther King. But we don't honor the man, we honor his imperfect memory. We don't honor the movement, instead we honor the myth. We ought to remember that we celebrate Dr. King's birthday, not his death day. We ought to remember the well-lived life and not simply mourn the martyr's death. For most of us, he's little more than an image seen in grainy black and white television film, pictures taken in Washington 40 years ago, the gifted preacher who had a dream. But King, of course, was much more than that, and the movement much more than Martin Luther King. He did more than tell the nation of his dream at the March on Washington. In the years before and after, he addressed the human condition, the larger world beyond America's shores. Racial justice, economic equality, world peace, these were the themes that occupied his life. They ought to occupy ours today. We meet as our nation is engaged in a war of occupation in the Persian Gulf, a war without reason or rationale, unnecessary and unwise. I am frightened. I am frightened that it may be only the first of the administration's aggressive faith-based initiatives. Last fall, the NAACP opposed unilateral war in Iraq, but we stand as one with all Americans in supporting our fighting forces. We commend the bravery, the sacrifice of our women and men in uniform, who represent all races and all faiths. More than most of American society, our military reflects the diversity of our nation. We mourn the lives lost, almost 20% of them black, almost twice the percentage of African Americans here at home. And we pray for a swift return of our fighting forces to America's shores, and to just and lasting peace at home and abroad. Now, when King spoke out against the war in Vietnam in 1965, he said he was revolted at the hypocrisy of America's claims for freedom overseas when blacks enjoyed few freedoms here. War abroad, he said, stole from Americans at home. The pursuit of widened war, he said in 1966, has narrowed domestic welfare programs, making the poor, white and Negro, bear the heaviest burdens at the front and at home. We also meet in the aftermath of a terrible day in American life and history, the slaughter of almost 3,000 innocents. Those who died on September 11th were a diverse group, most Americans, but they died with people from more than 50 countries, from Chile through Zimbabwe. That's why they called it the World Trade Center. Among the Americans were blacks, whites, Latinos, Asians, Christians, Muslims, Jews, as diverse in death as we are in life. One of those who escaped from the World Trade Center said, "If you'd seen what it was like in that stairway, you'd be proud. There was no gender, no race, no religion. It was everyone helping each other." But once away from that stairway, back in America's streets, there is gender, there is race, there is religion. Since the attacks, people who look like Muslims or Arabs have been harassed, assaulted, and even killed. On the Saturday following that terrible Tuesday, in Mesa, Arizona, a gunman shot to death the Sikh owner of a gas station, fired on a Lebanese clerk at work, and an Afghan family at home. When he was arrested, the suspect said, "I'm a patriot. I'm a damn American all the way." What he really is a damn fool.